We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Stern and Locke here, Sports Radio 610. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. You've been begging for this, Clint. You've been begging. You've been borderline on your hands and knees begging for this.
I wasn't sure where you were going with it, but I knew it had to be football related. And I'm a loophole, so I think I know where we're going, but hit me with it.
You've been begging for the Texans and Bill O'Brien to make one decision. What decision have you been asking for?
OC. It's got the OC, baby. I mean, that's the only, that is the game. I got one arm in the boat hanging on the edge. If a OC hire comes along from outside in, I'm jumping in that boat. I'm climbing in, baby.
It is not going to happen, in the words of John McClain. We'll ask him. We'll see what John McClain has to say when he joins us. But I got a feeling that John McClain is going to tell us it is not going to happen when we talk to him at 4. However, it is happening somewhere else in the NFL, and it's happening under the watch of one of the most respected offensive minds in the entire NFL, Sean McVay, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay, who has called plays for the Rams for 3 seasons. In those 3 seasons, could I interest you in some stats, Clint?
Always, 100%.
Sean McVay, in his 3 seasons in calling plays for the Los Angeles Rams, has had the first, the second, and the 11th ranked offense in the NFL.
According to
that is points scored.
Points scored.
Now, as far as yardage, he's been top 12 all 3 of those years as well. Okay. So Sean McVay's done pretty well for himself when it comes to calling plays. However, he has decided to do what you've been begging Bill O'Brien to do, and he is bringing in an offensive coordinator. And this is a quote from Sean McVay. I don't want you to get – it was hard for me to spit out earlier today when I talked about it, but this is a quote from Sean McVay on why a guy that successful would bring in an offensive coordinator, by the way, who he's never worked with. So Kevin O'Connell's a guy he's never worked with. He's not familiar with his work. This is Sean McVay talking about why he would make such a decision. Quote, his ability to communicate big picture. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for Jared Goff, his quarterback, to work with somebody like him because of some of the things that he's done that maybe I haven't gotten exposed to. I'm really excited about learning from him, working together, and us positively pushing each other to ultimately figure out what's the best version of the 2020 Rams offense, and how does it look as we continue to try to put together an offense in which we can put our players in the best position possible with an outside mind? When you hear something like that from one of the most respected offensive minds, who, by the way, is young. I thought young people were supposed to be stubborn, more stubborn than older people. When you hear something like that, what goes through your mind?
Well, I mean, it's number one, that's a cutting edge coach, by the way, who was in a Super Bowl year one or two as a head coach.
Two.
Okay. So immediately what goes through my mind is why is Bill O'Brien so adamant about not moving in that direction, right? But that's one of those where for me, Landry, I can't even wrap my head around why you wouldn't go in that direction. So it's a very difficult conversation for me to have as far as complaining about the fact that Bill O'Brien has not gone in that direction. In fact, he's gone the opposite of hiring a guy as his OC who he's groomed, who was a graduate assistant, who was a position coach for him, who right now essentially does all the grunt work throughout the week, and then Bill O'Brien does the fun part, even in practice does the fun part of calling plays in 11-on-11 types of drills. So it's not just a 180 on paper. It's completely a 180 on the way that the guy's been groomed and the way that the guys are these schemers and these guys with good football minds are plugged into the organization. So it's a very difficult conversation for me to have relative to Bill O'Brien because it's just such a 180. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, I will say this, though, Locke, is that when you talk about Sean McVay doing this and you talk about my man in San Francisco,
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan, the video that went viral of him literally pulling the flag, not literally, but damn near pulling the flag out of the ref's hands, pocket and throwing it in a NFC championship game where they threw it eight times, I think, in that game. So they needed ground yards. They needed penalty yards. They needed to win field position. So that was even more critical than a typical penalty. Those young guys, Landry, are making it really, really, really hard on these old heads.
Or even guys with old souls, because I would say O'Brien has an old soul. It makes it very difficult, and it's strange that a guy who's been in the league in half the time and has had way more success. And by the way, I screwed up the stats. He's first, second, and 11th in points per game in his first three seasons. He's actually 10th, second, and 7th in yards per game. So I sold him short a little bit. But guys who've had way more success, more playoff wins, a Super Bowl appearance, the toast of the league, really. I mean, Sean McVay, they were making the joke that anybody who shook his hand was getting a job. Like, a guy like this to be able to, and I've heard you say this, to be able to, for lack of a better term, put the ego aside and bring in somebody, not somebody who's been with them at Penn State the whole time like Tim Kelly with the Texans, but someone from the outside to come in with his quarterback, who he probably takes pride in for 3 years. He's worked with Jared Goff just as long as Bill O'Brien has with Deshaun Watson. But to be able to be willing to do that when you have that resume in half the time, I don't want to say it's frustrating, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating as someone who wants this offense to take the next step.
I'm going to tell you, I played for a guy, and he's a very good friend of mine. I love him to death, Houston Nutt.
Yes,
right,
sir.
In college.
That bastard made me cry.
And if you look back at H's time at Arkansas, mm-hmm. the one thing that I always – Houston Nutt would have been one of the greatest college coaches to ever coach the game if he'd have done one thing, hired an offensive coordinator. And I had a lot of success under him. It was nothing to do with what he believed in didn't work. But it was just a fresh mind that didn't have to be a head coach and a manager of all things under the umbrella of a university or of an organization. It was about being in a meeting room with the quarterback and knowing what that guy feels good about, not having to ask him on a Friday night before you play Saturday, what do you feel good about? If you're in the meeting room with that guy all week long, you know what he feels good about. You have intimate conversations with that guy. And I just believe that you're to take it one step further, like with Coach Nutt, looking back on it, damn near any coach that was a head coach caliber guy, Houston butted heads with, right? And the guy ended up leaving and going taking a job somewhere else, or it didn't work. So he ultimately had a bunch of guys, and I love the guys. They were great coaches. Right, but he ultimately had a bunch of guys underneath him that he knew were never going to threaten his job as the head coach.
Right,
right. They were going to. Now he sacrificed having a super exotic offense and a high scoring offense. Now you get guys in there like McFadden.
Felix,
and then hell, you can go score
Peyton
some
Hillis.
Pints. Yeah, no doubt. But I'm getting somewhere. My point is that I feel like Bill O'Brien's one of those guys of like, I want to have my offensive coordinator that was a graduate assistant that I brought in as a position coach that I elevated to the offensive coordinator position, so that ultimately this guy's never going to buck me,
right?
He owes me. He ain't going nowhere. He owes me. This is my guy. He's got a cush job because he doesn't have to do the most strenuous part of being an offensive coordinator, which is calling plays. You can be the great X's and O guy, great design guy. If you can't call them suckers on Sunday, if you're just an OC, your ass is getting fired, right? So it strikes me as one of those guys and one of those organizations. And the unfortunate part of that is exactly what you're talking about, Landry. Fresh minds, exotic minds, quarterback friendly offensive schemes. Man, without that in 2020, it's going to be hard to run.
Fudge, I'll tell you what, man. Like, you know, normally, like, I think this isn't actually a perfect comparison to the situation with Bill O'Brien bringing up Houston Nutt, because if you just look at the time that you were there at Arkansas, it was 1999. Like, it was 1999 was when you played your last game, right? It was,
yeah.
And right, like, the year after that was 2000 when Mike Leach first went to Texas Tech. And there were obviously some versions of that type of offense, but that type of offense, the spread, the up-tempo and stuff, was just starting to really get into college football to where pretty much everyone was going to run it.
Yeah, when I was in school, Hal Mumme was at Kentucky blowing up the air raid with Tim Couch.
So it was just starting to kind of expand, and you saw little doses of it to where we are now, where pretty much damn near everybody's running that type of offense. That's what it's like in the NFL right now. Like in the NFL right now, the college game and that up-tempo and all that, it's just now getting there. And yes, if you have a lot of talent, and the Texans have a lot of talent on offense, we're not going to dispute that. That's what's so frustrating is they have all that talent. You can keep it enough above water to where it doesn't look rock bottom, and you can sit there and justify it. Just like when Houston Nutt gets Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis, your offense can look okay.
Yep.
But if you're going to be stubborn while everybody else is starting there, like Sean McVay's are starting there and being a little bit more open-minded and being a little bit more innovative, eventually it's going to bite you in the ass. It's going to lead to your downfall.
You nail on the head, man. Look, when I was there, we were a really good team, and hell, between me fumbling – And then us messing the bed against Mississippi State, we ended up splitting the West. Point is Houston Nutt, he was SEC Coach of the Year two or three times, right? He won the West, I believe, three times at Arkansas, which I don't think they did because when Petrino was there with Mallett, they did a pretty good job. But Alabama won it that year, so I don't know that they've won an SEC West since Houston Nutt left. But to your point, Landry is one of those like. Enough, and if the right talent comes along, can win some conference titles. But ultimately, when McFadden and them were there, it was back when USC was monsters. They played USC back-to-back years. USC skull-drugged them boys, right? Because you just when the big boys came in, when Baltimore comes rolling in, and when Kansas City comes rolling in, and they're fully healthy, you ain't got a snowball's chance in hell because the scheme, the talent's not enough. At some point, talent runs out. You can have a great culture, and you can be extremely talented, and you can win a lot of football games. But to take that next step, your polos on the sideline have to do things like McVay's doing.
And like Shanahan.
And like Shanahan's doing. And like my man in New Orleans.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's doing. And like Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid are doing in Kansas City. And like in a different way, in a 180, a totally different way, like my man Roman's doing in Baltimore. Same type, cutting edge type, different type. Creating advantages by scheme, and if you're not doing that, there's some outliers, I ain't gonna lie to you, Locke, there's some outliers that talent is just flat-ass enough, and they end up getting them one somewhere along the way. But 9 times out of 10, that talent is gonna fail you at some point in time. Deshaun Watson is gonna have a bad day at some point in time.
I mean, he had many this year.
Right, Laramie Tunsil's gonna have a bad day at some point in time. And if you're leaned so heavy on that when those guys have a bad day, it's 38-3 and 9 minutes left in the third quarter against Denver. That's possible, right? So it's interesting, man. These young offensive coordinators and young head coaches around the league are making it very difficult on these older school managers. Now I'm calling head coaches and football managers. I'll be damned. They're making it very hard on those head coaches to keep doing things in that old school manner.
You know what I got to say to you about bringing up that Denver game?
What's that?
You suck too, mother effer. Stern and Locke here on Sports Radio 610. It's okay to admit you're wrong. It's okay. You can still call out the ones you love. Astros fans need to take notes. Let's cuss and discuss next. Stern and Locke here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours.
Thanks, Locke. Dog, I appreciate it.
Yeah, shout out to Lauren. shout out to Lauren here on Valentine's Day. What are you about to say?
You're up to something.
Well,
I was
right
listening
now.
To you guys on the way in, and you were taking callers that screwed up on Valentine's Day, and I was just thinking I was just going to say something, but go ahead.
It's the most appropriate day to break up with someone if you want to break up.
No, I don't know about all that.
Well, I think because it's worse to fake romance.
You got
to
be a sorry son
romance.
Of a gun.
I did it in middle school. Middle school, I broke up with a girl on Valentine's Day. I did.
Why do I feel like you hadn't changed much since middle school?
No, other than now you're about six, eight. No, it was a middle school thing, but it happened. Whatever. I've gotten past it. We'll move past that.
Valentine's Day story. I had a buddy of mine that was a roommate in college, and he had this really good looking gal that little softball player, Sherry. She was such a sweetheart.
Softball player, huh?
She was cool. She was cool as a fan.
You know that's very hit or miss.
This was a hit.
There's no middle ground with softball.
You know, I'm with you. She was strong. She was fun. She was nice. And I mean that in a very respectful way. It was a good friend of mine's girlfriend. I don't mean that in some perverted way. It came out a little perverted. It was not. It is not. But, man, my boy was head over heels for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
what position did she play so I can get a visual?
She was an outfielder.
Okay. There
and
we go.
So,
center or right?
Left.
Okay.
Yeah. So I come in, and my man was pretty confident, right? He was pretty, he was good with the ladies. He's pretty confident, but he was locked in with his lady. Well, I come in, and my man's got rose petals sprinkled on. Now, he lives with three dudes now. We're college roommates now.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a ballsy move.
You got to be careful there.
So he's got rose petals from the front door all the way to the bedroom, to the bed, and rose petals all over the bed, and, you know, a dozen roses on a nightstand, and yada, yada, yada. So I pulled my man aside. I said, look, man, let me give you some advice. I said, I appreciate this. This is nice. This is beautiful. This is really thoughtful, okay? I said, but
bless your heart.
You do realize that if you set this standard right now.
Exactly.
At the time, we were like 21, 22.
Exactly.
I said, you do realize if this works out. And she was marriage material. It didn't end up working out, but she was marriage material. I said, if it does work out, Chief, your ass better be spreading rose petals from the front door to
every
the bedroom.
Every damn year.
And look, next year, it's going to be a necklace. This third year, it's going to be diamond stud earrings. The fourth year, it's going to be a new car. I said, man, you're going down a path of no return. It's destruction, man. You better slow down. And sure enough, fast forward a year later, he just did a little dozen roses in a card because he had something going on, couldn't quite make it all happen. My girl Sherry, she hit the fan, boy. It hit the fan. She was not happy about that. He came to me and said, Clint, you were right. I should have listened to you.
You know what I call that? That's the Chip Kelly.
What's that, Chip? Why is
Chip
that?
Kelly. Because Chip Kelly, the Eagles coach, they go 10-6. He's innovative, blah, blah, blah. And they just set the standard unrealistically.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was
yeah.
all downhill from there. If you come in too hot, so sometimes you're better off starting out 7-9 and then working your way up to that 10-6, 11-5.
Yes.
Your boy tried to go 16-0 right off the top.
He was trying hard. And he did. Look, that first year he went 16-0, man. It was beautiful. And I was like, man, boy, I hope you got some energy. I hope you got some juice because y'all got a long time to live on this earth. We wasn't but 22. I said, you got a long way to go. And, man, you're going to make it hard doing that. I said, in fact, I wish your ass would quit doing that in my house because now you're making it hard on me.
Oh, so, yeah, well, I'm sure if it was college, I don't think you had too much to worry about there, Clint.
Yeah, no, I was good.
Put in the tape.
I was good.
You put in the tape. Walk by your banner on campus or something like that.
Arkansas was small, baby. It's on a hill. I didn't need no tape. It was like high school. Just go in there and lean on the lockers, baby.
Stern and Locke here on Sports Radio 610. Astros fans have gotten a little bit stubborn, and I want to use your show yesterday as an example. Sometimes it's okay to admit when you're wrong. It's okay to admit when you're wrong. It's okay to admit when the ones that you love are wrong. I was driving in listening to you and JB yesterday. And JB, I love JB. I think he's a great dude.
Hey, when you get to stuttering, I know something's fixing. You're fixing to go low.
Well, you got to stuttering in this clip as well.
I'm with you. I was biting my tongue, but go ahead.
But here was Jeremy Branham and my man Clint Sterner talking about this Astros scandal and talking about Jim Crane's comment specifically that he didn't feel that stealing signs helped.
I point to Robert Arthur's article on Baseball Perspective. And he said, yes, it helped at times. It also hurt at times. And at times, the Astros got the wrong sign. So whenever you add all the times it helped, you subtract all the times it didn't help. According to Robert Arthur of Baseball Prospectus, he says that it was a net zero on what the Astros gained in terms of a competitive advantage.
But that's the question was, if you know what pitch is coming next, it's a distinct advantage. And the answer is yes. It don't matter what the other team's doing.
That's arguable.
The answer is yes.
Robert Arthur, Baseball Perspective, he says it's not.
Man, you and Robert both kiss every bit of my ass. That ain't the answer. If you don't know if I'm throwing a curveball or a fastball, it's going to be significantly more difficult to hit.
But you're assuming that they're getting the signs right every single time. And Robert Arthur's telling you that is absolutely not the case.
I'm confused. Like, I can cheat. It's okay if I cheat because it only worked half the time.
That's like if you're a cornerback and you're guessing that it's going to be a five-yard out and you're going to jump the route, but then you're wrong.
JB, you act like the conversations and these questions aren't all around technology.
But you can
technology.
Still be wrong when there's technology.
Okay.
You were stuttering there too, Chief.
I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to go with it. I can't, like, for me, when we're First of all, it was all set up to discuss like the fact that Crane didn't handle the press conference well and that he was straddling the fence on the answer. Like, not
right.
Like, he straddled the fence. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So the whole point of the segment and the discussion was about Crane. And we kind of got off in the weeds about proving whether there was an advantage or not.
How does that have to be proven, man?
That
shouldn't even be a discussion.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Like, knowing the pitch that's coming, yes, it helps. End of story. Right. I don't care how much time this guy put into it. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, if you want to defend the Astros, just say everyone was doing it. I mean, I don't think it's, like, great, but just say something like that. But don't try to tell me that knowing what's coming does not help.
I did not know that I was – I stepped into a wasp nest relative to – I didn't know that it was such a sensitive topic that whether the Astros had an advantage or not, right? And so – It happened all organically. We didn't plan on doing that.
Yeah. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
But it was one of those, like, literally pluses and minus. They cancel each other out. That's where we're at with whether it was an advantage or not.
The other thing is, just because they don't get a hit or they don't hit a home run whenever they know what the sign is, doesn't mean that it's not an advantage. It means it's hard to hit a freaking baseball.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's that you fail 70% of the time. So, yes, even if you do know and you don't hit, like, that doesn't mean that it's not an advantage.
One time it works in the ninth inning in a game that matters, it's an advantage. One time. It doesn't matter if it didn't work 15 times. It's an advantage one time. So, I found myself having a conversation with people. I did it again last night on Twitter, by the way. Another guy, like, theoretical advantages. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm of the mindset of, like, if it worked one time, it was an advantage. Jim Crane should know that, and he should answer the question differently and more thoroughly. Here, let me give you this real quick. This is a scenario, football scenario. If Tom Brady goes out there and there's eight balls in a game, if you don't know how it works, the quarterbacks, before the game, the quarterbacks pick the balls they want to use in a game, right? And if there's eight of them, and Tom Brady deflates four of them to where it's not as hard because it's cold outside, and four of them are regular, and they all get mixed up in the same bag, and they all get in and out of the game in the same – nobody knows, nobody keeps track, but they all get rotated in, okay? And at the end of the game, Tom Brady has 400 yards and four touchdowns, and let's say he threw one interception. Like, you can't – we don't know how many times that deflated ball that was easier to grip got in the game. But we know that he had an advantage.
Yes.
That was an unfair advantage. Yes. That he would not have had he aired all those balls up the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, and so I can't tell you how many touchdowns he threw with it or without it, but I can tell you that he had an advantage, right?
Yeah.
And so it's if that's not an advantage to you, then I don't understand. So our conversation started with I was under the impression that Crane knew that there was an advantage associated with cheating.
Yes.
That's all, and JB disagreed, and so we kind of got off in the weeds a little bit.
It was very funny, but there are a lot of Astros truthers. If you are an Astros truther, 713-572-4610, we want to hear from you. And quite honestly, the Astros could use some truthers because players across the nation are continuing to bash the Astros. You'll hear the latest out of New York and Los Angeles next. All right, we're going to take some calls. We're going to hear some chatter. We're also going to be joined by XFL quarterback PJ Walker, not Tucker. PJ Walker. Not gonna lie, I was a little excited when you said PJ Tucker.
I knew you were, man. I knew when I was like, damn, okay.
PJ Tucker was in front of me at Bank of America the other day.
Man, why didn't you get him in the studio?
I just talked to him. I was just talking to him about Texas for a minute, but I was just kind of weird. It was kind of weird because I didn't know PJ Tucker would go to Bank of America and deposit a check like me.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and he's got his check and stuff.
I bet that was a big old joker, too. Well, money's real.
He went to the front and had the check. I guess they don't have direct deposit with whatever he was working with. And then the lady said, this is above my limit. I'm going to have to get my supervisor. So he had to get the supervisor. And I said, damn, Tuck. I was just talking to him about the horns for a second and just let him go. But he was at Bank of America. 713-572-4610 to get in. The latest person to join in on bashing your Houston Astros, Cody Bellinger of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who hit 143 in the 2017 World Series. I'm just going to preface this with that. He had a lot to say about the Astros today at spring training out there in Vera Beach.
Thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. These guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Lock dog. It's hard to argue that one. That was a nice put together right there.
I mean, I respect your feelings, man. I respect your feelings, but damn, dude. Like,
I mean, I just got through talking about everybody needs to shut the hell up. I mean, that's convincing right there. That's like Hank Aaron convincing right there. You know what I mean? That to me, it's I think there's going to be a handful of, and I said this about Hank Aaron, I think there's going to be a handful of outliers that maybe did play the game the right way. You know what I mean? Maybe they did play the game the right way. However, I believe for the most part, they need to shut all that down. Because you know who ultimately my man Bellinger just threw shade at? The commissioner, Major League Baseball. I don't know how smart that is.
Well, I mean, when you got immunity, you can do whatever the hell you want, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I get that, and I don't – now, do all the players have immunity?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, anybody that's been interviewed. That's what I'm saying. Bellinger ain't been interviewed. Why would Bellinger be interviewed about this? Why would he be in the investigation? I think it was 20 – at the time, it was 23 players, and those players had immunity, not all of them. And so – to me, it's a little bit of a – golly, that's convincing right there, though. I do believe there's going to be outliers out there that have that kind of message and that kind of belief. But there's just too much of it going on across the league for me to believe that the league isn't going to be cleaner moving forward and that there should be more to the face of this scandal than the Houston Astros. Okay? And look, I love the Houston Astros. I grew up here. I'm not a fan that's going to defend them. Right, yeah. I'm not defending the Houston Astros. I'm simply saying that they are the face of it's like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. They are the face of the steroid era.
Yeah,
and a large percentage of the league was doing it. Somebody's got to be the face of it. This league, right? It was the cheating was widespread. This league should be thankful that the Astros are taking it on the forehead. They should be thankful that the integrity of the game moving forward is quote unquote cleaned up. If that's what you're worried about, and this kind of thing shouldn't be a problem moving forward.
We will see.
I don't know if that's where you want me to go with that.
I don't tell you where to go.
That was
go
nice.
Wherever you want to go.
That was nice.
No, you go where you want to go. We're just sitting here cruising on a Friday, man. We're just kicking it to the weekend. Stern and Locke here on Sports Radio 610. We'll go to the phone calls in just a sec. 713-572-4610. But before we do that, let's talk to the quarterback of the Roughnecks, P.J. Walker, joins us now here on Sports Radio 610. P.J., Landry Locker, Clint Sterner with you. I got to ask you right off the top, do you feel like a jerk? You got someone fired after your first game, man. You got the defensive coordinator fired. Do you feel like a jerk?
I don't feel like a jerk, to be honest. You know, it's a part of the game. It's a part of the business, you know, and that's a decision that the coach made.
Yeah, I'm obviously just messing with you, tongue in cheek. But congratulations on that first win. I know that you're not really you're a Houston guy, but what places have you been eating at since you've been in H-Town? Is there any restaurants that people have recommended that you've been going to since you've gotten here? Do you have a place you frequent?
I've been getting the Papa Do's, you know, the Papa Do's.
Okay.
The turkey leg hunt.
Okay, okay.
I've gotten a turkey leg, and I've got some other places I can't think of off the back of my mind right now. You know, I got a couple of my teammates actually from Houston that be just trying to get us to go to different places.
Hey, Papa Do's is my spot. What do I need to run by that turkey leg hut?
Oh yeah,
that turkey leg hut is right. It gotta be a go-to place.
Okay, I'm in on that. Hey man, week two, y'all got it. I believe the crew that y'all got this week are the cats that I saw shotgunning seltzers in the locker room after a win last week. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
Hey, man, PJ, look, before we get into this thing and I start asking you X's and O's questions, do me a favor, man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shotgun those seltzers in the game when it's over.
I won't shotgun none of those at the end of the game. I won't be doing none of that. We'll be celebrating, though. We'll be happy for each other. We ain't shotgunning that, though.
Yeah, no seltzers, bro. No anything else, no seltzers. Hey, man, how do y'all carry that momentum into week two, man? I mean, I don't want to get too excited about y'all. I don't want to oversell you guys. I don't want to overpromise and under deliver, man, but I was awfully impressed with week one, man. How do you guys carry that momentum into week two?
Just stay level headed, you know, keep it a one day at a time thing. One day at a time, you know, it's a process, you know. We can't look forward, we can't basically, you know, just live off this one win. We just gotta keep our heads down and keep turning the page each day, you know. We know we're gonna have our adversity hit in games, but we gotta bounce back.
It's multiple processes for you, really, because you want to focus on your season. But obviously, everyone's dream in your position is to get to the NFL. And we had Oliver Luck on earlier, and he talked about his son recruiting you to the Colts practice squad. How focused are you on getting back to the NFL? And can you tell us a little bit about your encounter with Andrew Luck and what you may have learned from him to get you to where you're at right now?
I'm starting off first. That's pretty much the main goal, is to get back there, you know, and hopefully the opportunity presents itself. And, you know, me and Andrew built a great relationship being there for my rookie year. You know, he sat out a little bit. He sat out that whole year. You know, Jacoby was a starter. And we, you know, we just got a chance to just basically talk and get to know one another, you know, and that was the best part about it. And he saw me practicing every day. He knew the ability I had. And he trusted in me. You know, Andrew's one of those guys that trusted what he saw, and, you know, he told his dad all about it.
PJ, you're a young cat, man. I don't know that you realize the magnitude of what you just said. When Andrew Luck goes to his father, the commissioner of the league, the CEO of the league, and literally vouches for you, that speaks volumes about how you go about your business, man. And look, you're a hell of a player. I mean, I think you're a Sunday talent. I really do. But the most impressive thing about you is what you just said. That's the most rare thing, I think, in today's game with quarterbacks, is they don't do those kinds of things behind closed doors to the degree where a guy like Andrew Luck would go out there and go to bat for you. Where did you learn that? Was it mom and dad, how you were raised? Was it a coach? Where did you learn to go that extra mile and become that next level type prepared, next level type of quarterback?
It started off as a kid, you know, to be honest. It's just me trusting in myself and knowing that I always could do it, you know, and being in a position where when I was a kid, I always been a starter at quarterback. And then I went to high school my freshman year. I was a starter my freshman year in high school. Then I went to college and became a starter. And, it, you know, it was a process. And as I was becoming like a starter and learning more and more about football, I just started to see different things and different aspects and different perspectives. You know, my mom always kept her thumb on me about being a leader and being a special player. You know, that was her main thing. You know, she knew I had the ability, and she just told me every time I talked to her, she told me go out there and be special. And that's her words of advice to me.
Talking to PJ Walker, quarterback of the Roughnecks here on Sports Radio 610. Obviously, you got your eye on that NFL prize. As soon as you saw your college coach, Matt Rhule, get hired out there in Carolina, he coached you at Temple. You had to have said, hey, coach, what's up, man? How you living?
Yeah, I talked to Matt not too long ago. You know, me and Matt always had a great relationship. We had a relationship even when he was at Baylor, you know. So we always kept in touch. And, you know, me and him is like father and son, you know, most of the time. And we got our relationship, and we go back and forth at times, and we help each other out with football things. And he, you know, just keeping my touch with him is important, because it's deeper than just football. You know, his kids also, you know, are like huge fans of mine. So like that's huge for me. You know, I'm always gonna be there for him and his family as well.
Hey, man, PJ, I played in a couple of developmental leagues coming up. Played in NFL Europe, which Oliver Luck was involved in. And,
yeah.
In fact, there's a lot of the league that you're in now. I think a lot of the bones are from that actual NFL Europe deal. I played in Arena League, which was quote-unquote a developmental league. We did a lot of cool things, man. My boy Landry Locker over here that's with me today, they had a monster tailgate out there for you, man. I need you to put this right here just in the bank and talk to the higher ups about this. I need you and a couple of players to come out there and visit the tailgate sometime, man.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always for that. I'm always there to visit the tailgate. You just got to let us know where it's at, and we'll try to come.
There it is. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Come on.
All right, P.J. Walker, Roughnecks quarterback here on Sports Radio 610. Before we get you out of here, P.J., don't get anyone fired this week, man. Go a little easy on them. Take the foot off the gas, man. They got mouths to feed at home too, man.
Same here, though, man. Same okay. Here. I got family to take care of myself.
I feel you, man. PJ, we appreciate you. Best of luck on Sunday, week two. Hell of a start so far, and hopefully we see you in the NFL.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. PJ Walker right there here on Sports Radio 610. I'm rooting for him, man. I'm rooting for him.
You should. Hey, look, he's a good, you know, outside of the size, which in the league now, I mean, Baker Mayfield's not a big dude. He's not a fatty
like Mayfield. You see him with his shirt off?
Right. Yeah, he's been enjoying them pops. But pay raise got him rolling. But, and you know, now size, look at Kyler Murray. Size is not just a monster thing. I'm telling you, from an arm talent standpoint, the ability to push the rock down the field, this kid can play, man. I'm not trying to tell somebody how they need to be a fan of the Roughnecks and how they don't, but you've got an opportunity to go watch a guy play ball and watch a team play ball that's quarterbacked by a next level type of
talent. He'll be in a camp.
There ain't no doubt about it. In fact, I don't know if we're going to go there. I don't know if we're going to go there later.
We will.
It started out as a little bit of a joke. Maybe take a little punt, little kidney punch, maybe a little rib shot. But the more I think about it, the more I talk about him, and the more he comes on the show, and I got something.
Okay, let's get it.
I got something down the road.
We'll end the show on that. Let's go to the line, 713-572-4610. There, the city wants to talk about the Astros. So let's go to Truett from Missouri City. Truett, you're on Stern and Locke on Sports Radio 610. Go ahead.
What's going on, boys? What's up, Clint?
My man, what's going on, baby?
Man, I don't know how you do it. I'd have come unglued yesterday. I was trying to get in yesterday, but the show ended. But first of all, I'll start off with they cheated. We all know that. I'm not going to sit here and say they're the only ones that cheated. That's been going around. We used to steal signs all the time. Secondly, this report that Jeremy was talking about, how in the heck do you quantify – whether they're getting a sign right or wrong, unless you break it down, whether it's off speed, I mean, curveball, changeup, forkball, or fastball. So when we played, we just let people know, hey, it's either an off speed or it's fastball. That's enough for those guys to have an advantage.
We're with you. Sorry about that, Truett. I got quick. Not the Jeremy quick.
Damn,
I got quick.
JB, you hung up on my man.
Quick, man. I'm trying to get as many people in as many. Sorry to Truett. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
That's my guy right there, man.
That's your guy, man. He made some good points. I didn't mean to do that. Hey, my bad. You got to get going.
I'm trying to get multiple people.
McLean's gonna hog 95% of the dialogue. I'm trying to let the listeners get in. Hey. McLean's about to sit here and talk for 95% of the time.
Hey, B-Mac, I tell you what, he got dang fun. Guys, they get them beaters on that phone.
One
and
day
they
on
keep
the show, man.
My
he's
guys,
trying to take
man.
Over.
Gosh, he stole dang. My bit. I've always been the quicker. Let's go to Kevin from the West Side. Kevin, go ahead. You're on Stern and Locke.
What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot.
Man, I just want to give my little two cents on this whole buzzer thing. What kind of sense does it make that if the entire team is wearing buzzers, why wouldn't they want the whole jersey getting ripped off? Like, and then who was that made a comment? Was that Bellinger or was it Sanchez?
Bellinger.
About he would let the whole
Sanchez.
Team rip off all
they
of
both said it. They both said it. Bellinger repeated what Sanchez said.
So if the whole entire team is wearing buzzers, they wouldn't even attempt to rip off his jersey. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll let you guys make some sense of it because I'm still not understanding why people still believe that they wore buzzers.
Yeah, I don't necessarily understand why Altuve would run to the locker room.
Yeah, that whole situation is fishy, man.
But I mean, but he wouldn't be the only one wearing a buzzer. So if they already knew not to rip his jersey off, wouldn't everybody run to the locker room if they were wearing a buzzer too?
Well, you would think that if one of them was wearing a buzzer, you wouldn't have to tell them when he rounded third base, don't rip my shirt off. Like if four or five of them were wearing buzzers, it'd be pretty obvious. You would think. Now you get caught up in the moment. It is fishy, man. It's very, very, very fishy. And then you run to the locker room and change your shirt. You know
who's breaking bread this year? You know who's making some good coin this year?
Who's it?
Whoever the clubhouse attendants are, because I bet they've seen a lot of stuff. They're going to get better tips this year. They're going to get better tips.
Those guys always got it pretty good, but you're right. They'll get a raise.
They deserve a raise because all the stuff they've seen and they haven't said anything.
I can't believe you hung up on my boy Truett, man.
I didn't mean to.
I mean, my man was a baller, man. He played in the minors. He played college ball. He had good insight right there.
If you'd have made it to the bigs, I wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. Shout out to him, man. Just kidding. It was just a little bit quick. Stern and Lock here, Sports Radio 610. John McClain is about to enter the building. I want to ask John McClain about this article about Rick Smith that came out in The Athletic. Apparently, Rick Smith deserves all of the credits for bringing Deshaun Watson to H-Town. Does John McClain agree with the content in that column? We'll ask him next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.